Now, before you open your eyes, when you do open your eyes, I want you to describe to the listeners what you can see.
Oh, okay. Right?
Because they can't see what you're going to be able to
like
see.
Like one of those museum boxes where you put your hand in and you feel the
object. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, on three, open your eyes. One, two, three.
A gift!
You're not describing
a golden,
what you can
a rectangle wrapped in gold leaf paper, very tastefully. Jake has donned a Father Christmas hat.
I thought you'd think that was funnier than it was.
I did, for some reason, the gift distracted me from...
Well, that's for you.
Oh, wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah. I think for the content...
Oh, okay, sorry.
For content reasons...
Jake was using a nickname that I'd forgotten.
Don't read the message, because that was personal.
I won't, yeah.
I think you should open it now.
Very complimentary. I'd love, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's okay with Santa Claus...
Well, why don't you
open
it, like, a little bit at a time and try and guess?
Like an audio because unboxing.
It's something that is either very guessable or completely impossible, depending on certain factors.
So I'll sort of... gently slide it out of the packaging, trying not to reveal too much at once. I'll give you a running comment of what I'm thinking. Well, it looks like a DVD, first of all.
That's correct.
Oh, it's local Leeds lad, and stratospherically successful peer of ours, Josh Warrington, Fighting for a City. The documentary, this is great.
Had you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Right,
And we were just talking about it today.
Because I was in town and I saw like a huge advert for it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that is just the perfect gift for Steve.
You know what, so thoughtful.
Do you know what I had to do? I had to Google whether a PS4 could play DVDs.
Luckily,
which it can.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd have been no point getting it for you, would
it? Well, I mean, it would have been good for the meme. So. Do you think they're selling it outside of Leeds?
I did speculate about that, and I mean, surely Leeds is going to be the epicenter of sales if it's going anywhere.
Wow, amazing!
So, welcome to the Northern Powerhouse podcast,
a very special Christmas edition.
Yeah,
yeah.
Certainly our last one before Christmas.
Wow.
I'm here with Stephen Flynn.
I'm here with Jake Harris / Father Christmas,
and I thought we should start off by talking about our trip to Edinburgh.
Oh,
because. How long ago was that now?
Several weeks.
Yeah.
I think it was the last day of November and the first of December.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's nearly 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
And we drove up on the Saturday morning.
Early Saturday morning.
Pleasant drive, though.
Lovely drive. Great playlist.
And as soon as we got there, we went up Arthur's Seat, which was great.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for the old cardio.
You fell over.
As well. Yeah, I did fall over, yeah.
You carried yourself with grace and aplomb until that point.
Your foot was hurting you?
My foot was hurting me. I developed a nasty limp.
How is it?
I'm going to physio for it tomorrow.
You've been to the doctor?
No, I've not been to the doctor.
You just went straight to the physio?
I just went straight to
skipped
the
middle man.
Yeah, because it was just, I'm in between doctors right now, if that's possible.
I know that
isn't possible.
I know how you prefer to go private where possible.
Well, I don't want to get, other people on me.
Because you're going to have to... If you go to a normal doctor, you've got to sit on a seat that...
Oh, can you imagine?
God knows who's sat on
it. People with ailments.
So, yeah, I was limping. You were limping around.
I was limping. You were covered in mud.
And the Airbnb was really nice.
It was delightful, yeah. Very friendly host.
Very friendly host, whose name escapes me just now.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
But he was a very nice guy. And what was your highlight, would you say?
I mean... I loved Arthur's Seat.
Apart from spending time with me.
That was quite trying at times.
Yeah.
I loved Arthur's Seat, the National Portrait Gallery.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Although I preferred the art gallery.
Right.
Just the general art gallery.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the walk we did from Leith,
which is
the port of Edinburgh, effectively, back into the centre.
Yeah.
Via the Botanical Gardens, which were pretty great, weren't they?
The waters of Leith.
The waters of Leith.
I believe
we took them in.
That's what it's called, isn't it? Yeah.
I think we ended up with more ailments than we came in with. Following that.
And what was your lowest point?
My lowest point. I think day one, post Arthur's Seat.
Yeah.
When we then went up to
the
Parthenon.
Yeah.
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 What's that called? That's a name.
Observatory.
No, that area, the outcrop. It's like
I don't know.
Anyway, we went up there and my foot was just swelling up.
Yeah, you have it. But yeah. You really recovered from that, didn't you?
I did, yeah, yeah. I don't know what.
Remarkable that you came back from that.
Maybe it was the neeps and tatties.
Yeah.
But the most amazing thing for me was in the botanical gardens.
Yeah.
You could make a donation with a contactless card.
That was amazing.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah. I've never seen Steve get his credit card out so quick when he saw that was possible.
It was just, I felt like one of those guys in the adverts, you know, where they breeze through life.
Yeah.
No barriers.
Mm, everything's easy.
Anyone, anything. Yeah. I sound like a real German.
I had to stop you from donating twice, in fact.
I was tempted. Yeah.
My high point was the value for money we got out of those bus tickets. Those day rider bus tickets.
Which initially, after the first trip, you were...
Yeah, it was looking dubious to begin with.
Yeah, your faith was shaking.
Because we paid more than we should have because I didn't have any change and the bus didn't take change. Mm. But then we just used the bus so often, it really paid for itself.
We got the art of the deal. We got the best of those Scots there, didn't we?
I was thinking on the way here, who do you think the most pro-Trump person to listen to this podcast is?
I don't know all of our listeners.
Yeah, well, that's true, you don't.
Well, I know about half of our listeners personally, yeah.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah?
I wonder who it is.
Have you got someone in mind?
No, I don't. I wonder if anybody's just randomly listened to it from America or something. Like super Republican.
Well, I suppose of any person to randomly listen, it would be a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Skeptical of the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Looking for
alternative heroes,
yeah. You know. Looking for sort of, you know, truth close to the source.
And we tick all of those boxes.
Yeah, so if you're out there emailing, we welcome all this flock.
Make America great again.
MAGA. America Garth. Yeah.
The food was really good had when we were in Edinburgh.
Yeah, we ate a lot of pork.
The pulled pork was really good.
That was tasty.
And then, what did I have on that last night? A venison stew. Mm. That was spectacular. Mm. Yeah, really, really good.
Mm.
So overall,
10 out of 10.
Good trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go again. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
So, have you got anything else you want to talk about?
I'm done.
Cool.
No, I'm not. I've got a few things.
Go on.
I want to, you know, it's a Christmas podcast. I want to talk about Christmas.
Yeah.
In you know, in
you like schools. Christmas, don't
I
you?
Love Christmas.
Good Catholic boy.
There's nothing better than a midnight mass and a good Christingle. Passed around.
that was one of the less offensive Catholic jokes you could have made.
No, well, I don't. Like I said, we welcome all people in this flock, and we don't want to alienate any of our listeners. But I'm mindful that I don't want to bang around Christmas when there is a desire from the audience to hear about games.
That's true.
Yeah,
we hear that time and again.
We've received some feedback that we should bring it back to games.
Yeah,
but maybe through a Christmas lens,
right?
Or at least a summing up lens.
Whilst he's saying that, he's looking through his syringe
novelty pen
as if it is a lens
and talk about first our games of the year.
Yeah. Oh wow.
And then,
oh, you really should have primed me for this.
And then I want to get honest answers.
Yeah,
so
this is going to be real candid.
Yeah,
because I've got an answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think I can guess it. If it came out this year though. Is it ones that came out this year, or did you play this year?
The game I'm thinking of did not come out this year, but I played it this year.
And then I want to segue into Xmas films.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I
can guess.
Right. Let me just think about my options first of all.
Yeah.
So what's come out this year? Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm. Slog.
God of War.
Brilliant.
What on Switch has come out? Super Smash.
We're going to have the big Nintendo games this year. Pokemon Go? You didn't play those, did you?
No.
Not Pokemon Go.
Anyway, the answer is Horizon Zero Dawn.
Knew it.
Which I got with my PlayStation when I bought it in March. And like I've said to you privately, I think it is one of my favourite games that I've ever played. And even on reflection, I think it's great.
Mm.
I played the main quest. And I had the DLC, but I took a break, then went back to the DLC for the DLC.
Mm.
And I've almost never done that for a game. Like, once I've stopped playing it, I've stopped playing it. But I went back to play the DLC, enjoyed that. And then...
As much as the first player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've been thinking about going back and, like, completing the side quests.
Wow.
Which is honestly unheard of, yeah.
What is so great about that game?
So for me, it's the world building. is really cool. And so I can recommend the NoClip documentary about Horizon because they talk about the world building a little bit. The story is just really interesting. Like, it's a really interesting sci-fi story. If it was in a book, it would be interesting. So it's couched in this game world. The game world is very detailed and rich. It's an open world game, but there's a lot to do in it, I feel like. And it's not, there's not like vast swathes of nothingness. And the main character is very relatable, and I find the gameplay to be fun, which I know some people don't. But the all the different ways that you can fight the monster, the robots, is just really cool. Well, so that is my game of the year.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Listen up.
What's yours?
Played it, play it. Well, like you, I'm assuming God of War was a close second for you.
Yeah, probably.
Or
yeah.
Top three, anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
God of War.
I did love God of War.
A close second for me.
Yeah.
But in spite of how epic that was, for me, it's Kaiju Chess with Into the Breach on Nintendo Switch, which I know didn't come out this year.
It did. I think it did.
Okay. Well, it came to the Switch later then.
Yeah, I hear that. That is a banger, isn't it?
But it's just so, and it's, and it respects your time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Mm.
I might buy it on the Switch.
It's great. It's really great.
If I'm ever, if I've got any big flights coming up, I think I probably would buy it.
Yeah. And you can turn it off at any moment. You know, there's no sort of, you know, halfway through a level and then suddenly you have to get off the bus.
It's, that is fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, really, so good. God of War is a close second. I mean, I've got to shout out Red Dead Redemption, but I don't really know
if you enjoy it.
And then the ever-present PUBG for me, which I've still played as much as I did last year. Wow. It was my, if any of you read the blog post, it was my game of the year last year. And I still feel very passionate about that game.
Love it.
There you go.
I love the cross promotion we're involved in now. Have you brought your blog readers to the podcast?
The podcast is on my
blog. It's hosted on the blog.
So you can't, I imagine
you can't have
some nosy people have gone and looked back at the blog post when they first came to it for the podcast. But there's nothing interesting.
Well, let's hope you don't get picked up to host the Oscars or direct the next Guardians of the Galaxy film. You might be pilloried.
I'm clean, man. My conscience is clean.
Have you scrubbed your digital history?
I've just never done anything wrong in my life.
I mean, I've known Jake a long time, maybe between 10 and 15 years.
Yeah.
And I can say, honestly, I've never seen him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you...
Honest Jake.
That's what some people call me.
Hold on, it's Jake.
So you wanted to ask what my favourite Christmas film is?
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be as linear as that. You can talk about, you know, the debates over which films are borderline and don't quite qualify, but you still want to watch at Christmas.
Are you talking about Die Hard?
Talking about Die Hard. But also I learned today some people consider Harry Potter Christmas films.
Their
Christmas scene, which I can...
Did they not come out, some of them, around Christmas time?
That might be it
as well. Yeah. I've got a feeling that they did.
Yeah.
I can definitely see Harry Potter as a Christmas film.
Mm.
I don't have really strong feelings about Christmas films.
Any?
Which is strange because I have strong feelings about most things.
Why did you let me pursue this line of questioning?
I wanted to see you die on the vine. So what's? Give me some options that might be classic Christmas films.
I mean, there's Gremlins.
Gremlins is a Christmas film, isn't it?
Gremlins is a Christmas film.
Yeah.
Are we talking about borderline ones here?
Don't know. Any? What is your favourite?
What do you really enjoy? I like all the classics, like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
I think It's a Wonderful Life is actually really good.
It's great.
Yeah.
Gremlins, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way,
But again, there's those films that you stumble in halfway through, 30 minutes in, sort of on...
That's what Christmas films are like, isn't
ITV it? ITV 2 plus 1.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, somebody in me, some trash or something like that. And you've had a few beers, and you're a bit bloated, and you kind of snack it on some selection box. And that is a more holistic thing.
Yeah.
It's not strictly a Christmas film.
It's more than the sum of its parts.
It is, but it's an experience.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Maybe that's a Christmas tradition.
Let me put this to you.
Yeah.
The Santa Claus, yes or no?
Never seen it.
Whoa.
Has it got that guy from Home Improvement?
Yeah, Tim Allen. Woody?
Oh, I hate Tim Allen.
Woody?
I do.
I mean, it is a good concept that I think it's like he kills Father Christmas or Father Christmas dies at his house and he has to take over the role of Father Christmas.
So he assumes his identity?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is quite, I think it's quite fun.
Yeah.
Have you seen Miracle on 34th Street?
No. That, Richard Attenborough.
isn't yeah, yeah. It's Richard Attenborough, and he's not in his Jurassic Park role. And I can't remember what it is, but it's something about like.
I think he's trying to prove that he's Father Christmas.
Or someone's like court. Takes it. There's some core aspect yeah, to yeah. it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't.
But I mean, I think it is. It's all. It's tradition for me.
Yeah.
It's not strictly a Christmas film. It's just if it's something that has been on at Christmas. And I associate with Christmas.
I'll tell you something I do have strong opinions about.
It comes a Christmas film, yeah.
Christmas songs.
Terrible.
So, I really... the one thing that really annoys me is when you ask someone what their favourite Christmas song is, or it comes up in conversation, and they're like, well, I just think Fairy Tale of New York is really good. And they say it as if they are the first person to have that idea when it is the most loved Christmas song of all time.
Is that like the equivalent of the sort of, you know, when you first going through pubic and you've got a few choices ahead of you.
Yeah.
And you decide to take the rock or goth mosher route, whatever.
Got it.
And you buy Nevermind.
Yeah.
And you put a big poster on your wall.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you kind of, you know, your dad's there listening to Hall Oates and you're like, God, Dad. You never heard of real music. Come on. Come on, Dad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a good song, but I think it's not even overrated, but just the people's attitude towards it bother me. Mm. So I'll tell you my three indie picks for Christmas songs.
Ooh.
And I mean indie, not in that they're indie songs, but that they're alternative.
Okay.
So number one is Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses. Do you know that song? You have. It's the one that goes, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
That's a big...
But I think I'll miss this one. Yeah, I love that.
It's from the 80s.
It's from the 80s. Yeah. I believe it was written in 1981 because that's referenced in the song.
Mm.
And the plot of the song is a lady who, she's had such a busy year, she's been rushed off her feet, she's a bit of a yuppie, which we can all relate to, and she's going to have Christmas by herself because she just can't be bothered with any of the social aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And through the verses of the song, she describes these meetings with a man. She's been trying to get on a date with him all year, but they've just never managed to make it work.
Mm.
And then... it's Christmas, she's spending it on her own, and she realises she's forgotten cranberries for her turkey.
Yeah.
So she goes to the 24-hour shop on Christmas Day. Guess who's in the queue?
The man!
Oh,
handsome man.
And I just think it's such a beautiful story. So I really like Christmas Wrapping. I really like The Power of Love.
Is that a Christmas song? Is it really?
No, I'm not talking about Huey Lewis and the News.
Well, that is my preferred Power of Love.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But...
I've got the vinyl, I can pop it on right now.
Make love your go. Ooh. I'm talking about that one. Yeah. That's a Christmas song, definitely. Mm. I really like
good
that
good for
one.
Atonal singers such as you.
And the cream of the crop is I Believe in Father Christmas by Greg Lake, which kind of captures some of my cynicism about the world.
Which one's that?
I believe in Father Christmas. No, that's offensive.
Okay.
It starts with, they sold me a dream of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Well, I don't know what the chorus goes, but anyway, it's all about like how, I don't really know what it's about, but it's slightly to do with capitalism and stuff and how like Christmas isn't what it's crapped up to be. And, there's a line in it that's like, the Christmas we get, we deserve,
oh, wow.
Which I think is that might go over
and
the
then
line
to make
a
loads
bit.
Of money off that.
Yeah,
is.
But I do like that song, Richie and it's got this melody in the background. Do 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 do, and I just like that little melody as well. So yeah, that's my take on Christmas songs.
I didn't know any of the names of those songs.
Yeah,
but as soon as you started humming them, I recognised them instantly.
That's it.
Because for me, the Christmas songs are just one amorphous blob.
Yeah,
that I hear in the same playlist every year.
I
don't know if I trust a song that I can't listen to year round. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Mm.
But is it not the other side of the coin of the Christmas films being part of the Christmas experience?
Yes,
the songs are also part of the Christmas experience.
Again, I enjoy them as part of the whole experience of Christmas. Yeah. I like going to the supermarket idly, and then it's the soundtrack kind of going on there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cards just festooned there, or light stuff.
Yeah.
It's all stuff that I wouldn't enjoy on its own, but adds up to immerse me
Yeah. I consider a month. Christmas is the month of December for me.
I'm opposed to that as well, naturally.
You're opposed to
the month-long Christmas period.
What's wrong with the month-long Christmas period?
Because I think it devalues Christmas.
No, it's not that it should be all Christmas all the time from December 1st.
Right.
But the whole again, it's what you can't separate the parts. Mm. It's the build up, it's the journey that you take from December 1st to Boxing Day.
I get it. Yeah. I just think it starts too early.
Yeah.
I could do with a 2 week build up rather than a 4 week build up.
Okay.
Because I love Christmas, but I feel by the time you get there, you're just like, I've heard Mariah Carey so many times, like, waters it down a little bit.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's just my take.
Do you think any of our listeners are going to be unboxing an Xbox One X to watch the boxing on Boxing Day?
Did you think of that just then?
No, it's about 2 days ago.
Oh, that's funny.
I wrote it down.
That was worth writing down. Can you say it again?
I couldn't in the same order. Unboxing an Xbox One X on Boxing Day to watch the boxing on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there boxing on Boxing Day?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Why is Boxing Day called Boxing Day?
Wasn't it to do with, well, the version I heard as a child was that that was when you would give, you know, poor people
A box of stuff.
A box of stuff. You wouldn't wrap it.
Yeah.
Because wrapping paper was, you know, harder to come by them days.
I may be wrong. I learned an interesting fact the other day.
Yeah.
And now I cannot remember it. That's super
well, while you're trying to think
well,
of
I've
it.
Got one. I've thought of another one.
Well, you're just a fact machine,
aren't
you?
It's not as interesting as the first fact.
That's your other nickname.
So, have you observed that people from sort of Northern European countries, specifically the Netherlands...
We're trying not to alienate our listeners.
...speak very good English?
Yes. Yes.
And also English with a good accent.
Yes.
Right?
I'm enviable.
The reason for that is...
Envious.
The reason for that is...
I am enviable.
In the Netherlands, they don't dub English TV shows. They only show them with subtitles.
Ah.
So for their whole lives, Dutch people are exposed to English spoken by native English speakers.
That's a great cultural incursion there.
Yeah.
From us into the Swedish.
If the person who told me that is listening... Credit to you, because I didn't get it myself.
They'll remain anonymous.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that I learned. Mm-hmm. Do you know the difference between poisonous and venomous?
Oh. Is it to do with how they attack your body?
Not really.
Okay. So poisonous is, you know, it's something which, you know, is kind of life-threatening kind of thing.
Yeah.
Venom is something that you would get from, like, a sassy person who would shoot you, like, deadly looks or make nasty comments.
That's true.
Yeah.
But what I was really asking for was something is poisonous if you eat it and you die.
Yeah.
Something is venomous if it bites you and you die.
That's the really easiest distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a snake is venomous, not
but
not
a bad apple.
Yeah.
It's poisonous.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, you're blowing my mind here.
Do
you know what the R's in J.R.R. Tolkien stand for?
Ronald Rule.
there's a lesson, listeners. Don't try to outfat the fat machine.
This is my first rodeo.
Oh, is that what one of them stands for as well? Is there a third R that we don't know about, that the layman doesn't know?
Yeah, that's only for super fans. Once you've been a moderator of the subreddit for 3 years,
J. Rockin' Rodeo.
That's
Tolkien.
When they tell you
okay,
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, have you played Super Smash Bros. Ultimate?
I have played.
And what's your opinion?
I love it.
Yeah.
I've been playing it with Tanya.
Oh, wow.
She's getting into it big time.
Couch co-op?
Yeah, a bit of an ad. Not co-op.
Oh.
Yeah, playing against each other.
Couch competitive.
Couch competitive, yeah. No, pass the pad nonsense. So it's been really fun.
Who's your main?
Who's my main? I'm trying to kind of, tapas, you know. Like a sort of a Smash Bros. Like a vegetable tarly, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, you know, different. I'm trying to have a little flavor.
Diversify your portfolio.
Diversify my portfolio. But I really love Villager.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him in the last.
Villager is strong.
Mm. I like the payoff when you get someone with a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like you've earned it.
Yeah.
I like Simon from Castlevania.
Right.
Yeah.
He's
a new one for me.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't unlocked many because
Same.
I was playing a lot of spirits. But then I started to go off spirits.
Mm. It's just a bit much, isn't it?
It's a bit much. There's so many battles, and like, you know, if it was a tutorial and it was, I don't know how long it is, but half the length, I'm sure it'd still be pretty lengthy.
Yeah,
that'd be fine. But you know, the essence of the game is being in a room with other people.
Yeah,
and like getting hysterical.
Yeah,
I'm just it's just a reflex. I'm playing it as like just to you know, perform a function. I'm not enjoying it that much.
The thing that put me off was just the volume of it, really. I just felt like I was never going to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
And also, I know this is a bit an unpopular opinion, but I didn't like the diverging paths, the choices. I would have rather it was just like one thing after another, so I didn't have to think about, oh, like, where am I going to go next?
Oh, in terms of the map.
Yeah, in terms of the map.
In terms of the spirits and the customization.
Oh, that as well can be a bit overwhelming.
Because it's, you've got, and you're constantly unlocking new ones, and you're like, oh, should I invest my points in this one? Should I destroy that one? And it's like, oh, maybe I'll unlock a really cool one next. I'll save it all. And then it's just that.
It is a bit like
endless
that,
choice.
Yeah. And then if you're losing a battle over and over again, it's like, am I just not good enough, or do I not have the right configuration or the wrong configuration?
And if it's all just about the right configuration, then what's the point?
So. Have you played it online?
No. Once, and we got smashed.
The online is bad.
Is it?
It's not like it's a very fast paced game, and you can't have any lag. And sometimes there is a lot of lag. And the way that they deal with like players getting out of sync is just like stopping the game, as in like freezing everything until all the players are caught up. And then starting it again, which is really unfair, because if you're like doing something that's timing based and you're like, if I can pull off this move in just the right moment, I'll get it right. And then suddenly it freezes. So the guy who you're going to attack can see it coming.
Yeah.
Then that defeats the object.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of a shame. But as you say, it's supposed to be played in the same room.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about it. It's one of the few games now when everything is online that still is designed to be played that way and pulls people together. You know, everyone buys a copy, don't they?
We'll have to try and get a session in at some point.
Absolutely.
As a team.
Four player.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Can I move us on to the leads section?
You can.
Of the podcast?
You can. Let me just wrap my brain.
I've got three places
to
report.
You go and I'll glaze over while you're talking to me.
One.
Yeah.
I've been to Thewlis again, the cocktail bar.
Thewlis.
I think we might have mentioned that before.
As in it's David like, Thewlis.
Yeah, as in David Thewlis. It's opposite Greek Street, opposite the top next to the Decanter, which I think I mentioned last time.
Oh, maybe that's the one I'm thinking. Is it underground or?
No, overground. Okay. It's just like a city boy cocktail bar.
Yeah.
Do you fit in? I fit in, of course. I fit in everywhere I go.
The Chameleon, a third nickname.
When I was there, all the tables were reserved for a party, but I sat in them anyway. And that was
Are you sure you want to admit that?
That was pretty thrilling.
We have
that
a lot
could
of
be
listeners.
The thing that stops me from becoming president.
There we go.
So I went there. That was fine.
Yeah.
Done. I wouldn't strongly recommend it.
No. How many carafes full?
I'd give it an espresso martini out of a Negroni.
Right.
It's fine for a date. Put it that way. I've also played shuffleboard again.
Was this in the same night?
No. For the first time.
Multiple nights out.
For the first time, paid for an hour rather than half an hour.
Worth it.
Flew by.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, I'll get an hour and then if we get bored, we can stop. There wasn't even enough time.
Wow.
In an hour.
Wow. Did you win? Comfortably. Lovely.
Pro. And I've also been to Thor's Teepee.
They have live fires in there, don't they?
Live fires and a smell of fire
yeah.
for 24 hours afterwards, because it really seeps into your clothes
your
and
skin.
You're scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was very nice.
Was it rammed?
When I first went in, yeah, it was. When I first went in, it was about 8:45 on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes, we got a seat.
Yeah.
But then it closed at like 10:15. So it closed pretty early.
Yeah.
But definitely worth a go.
Yeah.
It's tacky, isn't it? But it's something to do.
It's different.
Yeah.
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 Speaking of tacky and different.
I
just remembered what I've been doing. We went to Tenpin the other night.
Tenpin?
The bowling place under the Marine Centre.
Oh, the actual bowling
place. Yeah, the actual bowling place. Yeah, and it's not an ironic. It is just a time capsule to the '90s.
Yeah,
and it was great.
Yeah,
I had it in my head that I was a guy who hated bowling, and it turns out I only hate bowling when I lose.
Right.
So I'm a person who can enjoy bowling.
What score are we talking? 20, 30?
I lost both our games, but by about 10 points.
Oh right, but
and I started strong.
the way it started the story made it sound like you were
going to
win.
Well, because I started going into it, I was enjoying myself.
Right.
Because I started with a couple of strikes.
Oh, and you Tanya were competitive. Was lagging behind. Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, Seabiscuit, she kind of came up from behind and, you know,
she was
true underdog
she
style.
Was playing with you.
She was playing. She hustled me.
Yeah.
But then we played a basketball arcade game.
Yeah.
And I beat her at that. Mm.
So. Yeah. I've not been in that place for probably 10 years,
neither
but glad it's still going strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think it will ever need to, you know...
No, because I think it serves a
gentrify.
Purpose. I don't think it does. I think it serves a purpose.
Right.
And I think, the fact that it's held on long enough gives it kind of this countercultural credibility that, you know, students love it because it's tacky and authentic
right.
as well.
Yeah.
So while you've got people going there sincerely,
yeah.
you've also got these kind of, you know, kids from the home carriers thinking
yeah.
it's all wonderfully gauche, you know,
yeah.
kind of now, to hear these people swear, and, you know, sticky carpets and things like that.
The problem that I've got with bowling mm. is, you know, I feel like I never play enough games in one session.
To get good.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like the first game, I'm terrible, but I'm just sort of getting there mm. to be competitive. But then you only play maybe one more game if you're lucky, and then...
Well, have I got an offer for you then?
Tell me.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Tenpin is doing, I believe, unlimited bowling from 7 to midnight for £20.
I would probably be interested in
well,
that, to be honest.
I'm staying in New Year's
Eve. Oh, yeah. So, but yeah. you'd have to be there.
I'd have to be there.
I can bowl alone.
You can still have Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam, which was about the decline of community cohesion.
I don't know what's happening.
In the United States. He was a sociologist, and it was a seminal text on the decline of community cohesion in the United States because of... a lack of people participating in like civic activities and hobbies.
This isn't a bit, is it?
This was a book that I read the blurb of and somehow managed to still quote in my dissertation.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you want to be saying that on air?
Well, no, I quoted it in such a way that I never explicitly said that this wasn't from the blurb.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's
triggered.
We've nailed the lead section of the podcast.
Mm. Do you think we should come up with a new section? We need to inject fresh?
It'll happen organically if it needs to happen.
Well, that's the writers.
I think.
Don't force it.
Putting it into sections. Yeah, don't force it.
Yeah.
Let it happen.
It should be like perambulation. It should be like a. You know.
Have you ever watched People Just Do Nothing?
No.
That is a good TV show.
People say this, and they say it about what's the This Country.
Yeah, they're very similar.
Yeah, but style. I'm sure they're good, but I just see the trailers and it just looks like kind of, you know, after The Office was a mega hit.
Yeah.
And there was a million Office derivatives.
Yeah.
I just like, I'm not.
It is trading very much on The Office vibe,
yeah.
which I love. And
yeah.
so like.
Cause I've seen, is it Chabuddy G?
Yeah.
I've seen him do like bits for other things and he's really funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd want to watch a whole.
So in the
show.
Most recent series, which has just come out.
The last
series,
right?
I think like the caricature Chabuddy G a bit too much.
Yeah.
Which I know sounds stupid because he is this outrageous character,
mm.
but it was kind of good when he was a side character and just sort of like dripping lines in here and there.
Sprinkling.
But he's becoming more of a major character
yeah.
and that maybe doesn't quite work for me, but I still think it is very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I've been watching the Good Place on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Which
just
is
like all of my 13-year-old female students.
Well, right on, because they've got the right
Can
idea.
You dig it?
I, big time.
Yeah.
And it was another show that I was put off by its exterior. Maybe
right.
like, you know, you should, you know, you're having the same reaction
yeah.
that I have to People Just Do
yeah.
nothing.
Open
but
your mind.
It's great. It's kind of like, it's got the sort of, maybe a bit of the madcap zaniness of 30 Rock.
Oh, wow.
But also very like, you know, like great, the leads are all great sort of, they really build the characters well and
right.
have character humour.
Yeah.
And it teaches you a bit of moral philosophy as well.
I could do
for
that.
For your book, exactly. Well, you've never done anything wrong, so.
Well, but.
Maybe
always,
to see how the other half
improves.
Lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm doing like a full rewatch of Peep Show at the moment. when I'm having my lunch or whatever. And it made me realise just how much of what I thought were my own thoughts were actually from Peep Show. And stuff that I used to say at university that I thought I'd come up with by myself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
for example, I definitely remember saying repeatedly, like, when we were in a situation where something, I don't know, edgy was happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say, this is a sort of thing people do when they're having a good time. And that's a quote from Peep Show. And I thought of that myself.
Is that when he's doing the drugs in the toilet?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in
a bowling alley.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really enjoying watching Peep Show again from a more adult perspective.
I'm just afraid if I watched it now, it would be too close to my own reality.
Yeah, we were talking there is a bit of that. Yeah. So I've also started reading a book about physics for the first time since before I went to university.
Wow.
Yeah. Because
did you get through your degree?
I mean, obviously I read textbooks, but I mean like a popular science book.
Oh,
because okay. The last thing you want to do when you're studying physics is read more about physics in Absolutely. Your spare time. And it's taken me 5 years since graduating.
To recover
yeah.
from the trauma.
And honestly, I'm just loving this book so much.
What is it?
It's about time, okay. which I'm very interested in, and like yeah. the nature of time.
By who?
It's an Italian writer. I can't remember his name. And he's a famous physicist. And the book was originally written in Italian and translated into English.
Mm.
As you know, I have a physics tattoo.
Yes.
And which is related to the nature of time. So entropy. It's connected to that as well. Entropy, exactly. Mm. And actually, in the book, which I didn't know, he's like, a lot of people say this equation determines an arrow of time. Actually, it doesn't. And explains why.
How embarrassing.
Fortunately, that wasn't the only reason I got the tattoo.
It's about chaos.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm more informed about it, so yeah. can't really.
And it looks great in those pics.
Thanks.
In those pics.
So, yeah, just really enjoying that book.
I'm reading through that book. I'm reading a book as well.
What?
A series.
Is it about Alan, by Alan Watts?
It's not by Alan Watts.
Thank God.
It's a series of short stories from George R.R. Martin.
Outside,
George Ronald Reagan Martin.
Outside.
George Rockin' Rodeo.
Do you think he gave himself an extra middle name to sound more like J.R.R. Tolkien?
You know,
that's something
did.
That I've wondered
that
about before.
Because
you hear about all this marketing stuff, like J.K. Yeah. Rowling used that name
because it was androgynous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he actually have two middle names beginning with R? Because it's so like J.R.R.
You need to Google that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm surprised you don't know.
Set outside the world of Game of World of,
oh, yeah,
world
was,
of Game
I
of
think
Thrones.
It, I Googled because... Because I bought it and I wondered, have I just bought a book by a lesser-known other George?
Right, yeah.
But it is the same one.
Yeah.
And this is written pre-Game of Thrones.
Is it sci-fi?
Well, it's... what's funny is there are elements which you can see, oh, that could then become Game of Thrones.
Right.
So there's some stories where there's talk of dragons and things like that.
Mm.
And there's talk of long winters and stuff.
Ah, interesting, right.
And then there's kind of a Morlocky one that I'm halfway through at the moment, but that doesn't really relate.
Banging your sister?
None of that yet.
Right.
But some pretty gross stuff, like people turning themselves into man worms.
He's into that, isn't he?
Yeah.
He used to be a screenwriter.
Did he?
Yeah, that's like how he became famous and made his living in his...
Oh,
the
so
rest
the books
of his
came
life.
After.
Yeah, he's written like famous TV shows and films, and the books came after.
Sci-fi.
Yeah. Shows. What a talented man.
Crazy. Yeah. And looks like the Megabus mascot.
That's really true, yeah.
Yeah.
You do see actually quite a few people who look like George Martin around and about, even wearing the same hat.
Wait, George Martin.
George R.R. Martin.
Is there another famous George Martin, though? Was he the Beatles guitar?
No.
No.
Oh, was he?
George. What's his name?
Harrison.
George Harrison.
Yeah.
Or George Michael.
And I wonder if those men who look a bit like George Martin started wearing the hat to emphasise that.
If they leaned in.
If they leaned into their George Martin-ness.
Potentially.
Have you ever read Game of Thrones?
I read maybe 150 pages.
Tough going, eh?
The first one. It is tough going.
Mm.
It's the, you know, it's just the endless, you know. And then, in exquisite heraldry, I'll tell you about the detail of, you know, this chap from a minor house who will never feature in the story again, but there's a trout on his banner, and, you know, crenellated edges.
And it really continues in that vein.
And it's just, it's just a lot to take in.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Have
you finished them all?
I've read all of them, And to be honest, I did enjoy them. Even though
you're
quite
a pedantic person. Detail-oriented.
Fixated bit with detail. But I think it was a time of my life when I was at university, and you know, I just wanted to like
impress.
It didn't. No, 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 no.
Oh, you just wanted to turn your brain off. Sorry.
Exactly. Sorry. Like I could just absorb it without like worrying too much about it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hmm. Oh, that's
Well,
that's our culture wrapped up, I guess.
I've finished my list.
My list was very short this week.
I see you looking at your watch.
No, no.
Before we started, Steve told me he's got somewhere to be.
No,
he'd rather be somewhere else. Here.
Tonight is an unusually packed calendar for me.
Yeah,
I will be spending time with three different people.
That am I the first?
You're the first.
Nailed it.
Aren't you honoured? Yeah. Although some people say first the worst, second the best.
Yeah,
which would give Tanya a hairy chest.
That's you wish I hadn't started that now.
Well, luckily she never listens.
That's great.
To these podcasts.
That's great. Okay, well let's wrap it up then.
Boom.
Hope you have a Merry Christmas, Steve.
Here's ho hoping.
Hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year out there in the world, and we'll be back in the new year.
Absolutely. Maybe we can end it with some festive music that you could just play over what I just said.
Got it.